Well, good morning. Welcome to Living Hope. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for longer than any of us have been around. The Lord be with you. Thank you. We believe that that's true, that the Lord is present with us, that as we gather together to worship Him, that He shows up, and He sometimes challenges us, often comforts us, and always comes to us full of grace to offer the mercy of God and the love of God to us. So could we bow our heads for a moment and pray as we begin? Thank you, God, that Jesus is not just some historical figure we come to study, but is our living, victorious Lord who has conquered sin and death and who now makes your power, your resurrection power, available to each one of us. God, we come to you today hungry for your grace, in need of a fresh reminder of your love. And for many of us, God, we need your power, your strength to continue to trust you and to follow you this week, to face the challenges that are placed in front of us. So today, God, as we sing to you and pray to you, as we listen to your word, as we gather around the table of our Lord Jesus, in all that we do today, God, would you meet us here? Would you open our hearts and minds to meet with you, the God who loves us, and to hear what you would say to us? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as always, if you're able and interested, let's stand and let's sing as we begin to worship today.
I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. I'm usually a NIV kind of guy, but this version that I'm going to read is from The Message, which I really like for this passage. Jesus says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly."
And would you bow your heads with me? God, that is our desire, that we can live life with you, that we can learn the rhythms of grace, that we can learn how you created us to live, how to live this life you meant for us. Instead of working against you, God, instead of going against the grain of the way you made the world and the way you made us, trying to be our own God, thinking we know best how this life ought to go, God, we want to line up with you. And we do this confident in your love for us because that's how you've revealed yourself in your Son, Jesus Christ. Not as some kind of a tyrant God, not as some kind of an angry deity in the sky demanding service or something, but God, you've revealed yourself to us as a loving Father who desires the best for his children, who longs to guide us through this life, to lead us, well, as we just alluded to, that Psalm 23 in that song, to lead us like a shepherd beside still waters and into green pastures, to places where our soul is restored and refreshed. And even if we find ourselves in dark valleys, God, we are not afraid because you are with us. So God, please help us to learn how to live our lives open to you, trusting you, that you will lead us well. Today we come to you, worshiping you, thanking you, praising you for the love you've shown us in Jesus Christ. Today we come to you acknowledging our need of you, that you would forgive our sins, that you would heal our brokenness, that you would comfort us in grief, that you would guide us and grant us peace in the midst of confusion or anxiety. God, we come to you and we trust you. So thank you, God. Thank you for all that you have for us, all that you've given to us, in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. We're going to take a couple minutes to greet each other and extend that peace to each other. So would you shake some hands and maybe introduce yourself to someone? All right. Hope everybody got one of these little welcome bulletins when you came in. Let you know what's going on around here these days. If not, I think there's some more out in the foyer. I don't see any back there, so maybe we got to bring some more in. But if you need one of these, I'm sure we have more. Inside there, of course, is that little welcome card that lets you know what's going on. Sorry, the welcome card doesn't let you know anything. The welcome card is how you let us know something. The welcome card is for you to share with us how we can be praying for you, thanking God with you. If you want to come to Living Hope 101 tomorrow night, you can write that on that card. You can come grab me after the service. We've got a small group of folks that are signed up for it right now. If you would like to know more about this church, what it means to plug in here, connect here, what we believe, if you have questions about any of that kind of stuff, let me know. Come tomorrow night. We'll have some food. We'll have plenty of time for Q&A, and you'll get an introduction. That's kind of that next step beyond Sunday morning. If you've been wanting to take a next step beyond just showing up on Sundays, come tomorrow night to Living Hope 101. I just need to know you're coming, so I've got enough materials printed up for you and have enough food ordered and all that good stuff. All right, the welcome card, if you filled that thing out, just make sure you drop it in the offering box before you go. It's to the left of the doors there. And, of course, if you're giving something today, you can drop that in there too. The Women's Bible Study is not happening this week, but they'll start up again the week after that. And if you want to respond in some way to all the natural disasters that have been taking place, you know, the earthquakes that have happened in Mexico or the devastation that's happened in Puerto Rico and the Caribbean most recently there, as well as Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Harvey, we are part of this global network of the Church of the Nazarene. And so you can donate. You can just go online to ncm.org. I think I put that link in there. It's Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. And right at the top, as soon as that page comes up, you'll see a series of buttons you can click on to donate, and they can funnel resources to people who are on the ground in those places, because we have churches of the Nazarene all over the world. And when disaster strikes, then a whole bunch of volunteers show up, and resources pour in from churches like ours. And so if you'd like to give to that, you can. There's also a community effort that a friend of mine is involved in helping get going. I think they ended up calling it Valpo Kids for Katy, Texas, I think. And so we've got out on the sign right now, I think it's basically just the rest of this week and maybe part of next week, that we're going to be a drop-off site for people who want to donate diapers or baby wipes. And so feel free to bring those with you next Sunday if you want, or drop them off during the week. If the doors are locked, you can leave them out front. We've got a couple of totes out there in case it's raining, although I don't think we're ever going to get rain again. So if you want to drop off diapers or wipes, then they're going to put all that on a truck, along with they've got other things getting collected at other sites, and they're partnering with this particular community where they have a personal connection. And so there are lots of ways. Plus, if you want to go, if you want to volunteer, you want to give your time, let me know. There are some people going from Valparaiso First Church of the Nazarene, the big Church of the Nazarene here in town. They've had one group go down already. They've got another group leaving pretty soon. If you want to go, let me know. I can connect you with them, and you can help. So there are all sorts of ways that we can show love to our neighbors, both locally and around the world. And if you want to get more into any of that, if there's a need you want to respond to and you're not sure how, let us know, and we'll try to help you do that. All right, this morning you've got some notes there for this morning's message, and there was one other thing I was going to mention. Just in case you missed it, we've had several people in our church who have faced different health crises along the way. Michelle right here, you may have noticed, is in a neck brace. She had neck surgery just this last week and is doing well. Thank you again, Michelle, for you and your brother bringing the cake last week for the birthday celebration. That was awesome. And then right behind Michelle, you see Chris and Linda Zyla sitting there, first time back in church since the great motorcycle accident of whenever that was, and healing well. So we are glad you guys have pulled through that, and hopefully soon Chris will be able to use his right arm again and all that, the shoulder heals and everything else. How long is that supposed to take anyway?
12 weeks.
Okay. All right. So continue to pray for the Zylas, continue to pray for Michelle, continue to pray for all the folks in our church who are going through different health stuff. Most of those end up on the back of our bulletin or get sent out in the email. If you want to get that email to know how to pray for each other, that's one of those things. You can let us know on your welcome card, hey, please add me to that email, or you can watch the back of the bulletin. And and just this last week, Linda Hetman actually was in the hospital too. She left from here. This is a great example, actually. Let me just share. I didn't ask if I should share. Can I share that? Okay, all right. Whew, all right. Last week we had our birthday party, celebrated 17 years as a church. We had food and everything afterwards, and two of the last people to leave were Linda and Crystal. And Crystal is a nurse, and she's talking to Linda, and Linda's telling her about some of the health things she's gone through and how she still needs to get these tests done, but she's kind of waiting to see if Medicaid's going to pick it up and pay for it and whatnot. And Crystal realizes, talking to her, you really can't put this off, given your medical history and given the symptoms you're experiencing right now. We need to go now. And Crystal drove Linda to the ER and made sure she got to the hospital, stayed with her for like 5 or 6 hours last Sunday, just to make sure that things went well. And sure enough, Linda was admitted. She had to get all this different stuff done and is still not done with that, so please pray for Linda as well. But it was a great example last week of what we were just talking about, that we were not created to do this life alone. We were created to do this life connected with the God who loves us, connected with each other, which that was a beautiful example of, and connected to this world that needs God's love. So I just want to say thank you, Crystal, for making yourself available to your sister in Christ last week, letting God work through you in that way. That was amazing. So thank you. And that's, you know, just the most recent example of all these different ways that you guys are connected to each other and that you're finding ways to connect with needs that people experience in our neighborhood and around the world. And hopefully we're all doing this because we found ourselves connected with this God who loves us. This God we've just been singing to and praying to and celebrating today, whose scriptures we're about to read, because God cares about us. He doesn't want us to live our lives enslaved to all the... That's my boys. All right, thanks, Kate. She's gonna make sure they're all right. God cares about us. He created to live this life connected to each other and connected to Him. And the story in the Bible, though, is that we find ourselves over and over again enslaved. We don't find ourselves living in that freedom He created us to live in those connections. We find ourselves enslaved, separated from God, separated from each other, separated from what it means to be human. And the people of Israel certainly experienced that. That was a central story in the Old Testament, is the Exodus, God's coming to rescue His people. And that's why I started with that in your notes today. I mentioned this last week, as God was talking to Moses at that burning bush moment, God said, "I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them." The God of the Bible is a God who cares about us, who doesn't want to see us enslaved, who wants to set us free to live the life He created us to live, to be fully human. And so, as we mentioned last week, slavery beats the humanity out of us, whether that's slavery, like physical slavery they experienced, or whether it's our own slavery to our own attempts to be God and to run our own lives, and our slavery to our own lusts and passions, our slavery to all those different things we submit ourselves to, all those false gods that we center our lives around instead of the God who loves us, that end up enslaving us. As God is rescuing His people from slavery, He's teaching them again how to be human, giving them His laws, His commandments, trying to help them understand, here's what it means to be free. Now, here's what it means to follow me. And right in the middle of those Ten Commandments that we all know and love is this Sabbath commandment that we all forget and ignore. This Sabbath command that God says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Nobody in your community should do any work on the Sabbath day. You should rest. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He's saying God has woven into the fabric of creation a certain rhythm where you're to work and then rest. You work and then rest. And it's supposed to be a natural rhythm that we just flow with, that we follow, that we live by. Just like the beating of your heart or the inhale and exhale of breath, we live our lives by rhythms. And those rhythms can either, like, we can fight against it, or we can go with those rhythms. And according to God's word, this is woven into the fabric of creation. It's, for some reason, maybe because we've just been singing these songs, but it makes me think of music and how important rhythm is to music. That's why I'm so thankful for skilled musicians like Miles and Alex and Scott, who are up here, you know, playing the drums and the bass and the guitar. And, you know, if they are fighting against each other, if they're not keeping rhythm together, it's chaos, right? Some of you have experienced this as us. Every now and then, there's one of these songs that really moves you, and you find yourself clapping along as we're singing. And Have you ever been behind somebody who is rhythm challenged in one of those moments, or near someone, and you're like, it's just kind of frustrating sometimes. They're like clapping, and it's like they're clapping to a different song that they're hearing somewhere that's out of somewhere else, not the song that we're all singing. And it can be challenging. You know, it's like all of a sudden these rhythms are not together, and we can live our lives that way sometimes. We can live our lives trying to force ourselves into some different pattern than what God created us to live. And all kinds of different ways this ends up looking. For some of us, we end up like never taking that break, you know? So it's like we're always on and we're never off. We don't just work 6 days, we work seven. And if we could squeeze in a 7.5, you know, we'd do that too. So we cut into our sleep hours because we got to work more, you know, in those times. And we find ourselves never, ever taking Sabbath, never, ever taking a break. And that just does not work long term. I mean, eventually your body says, oh, wait. I wasn't created to work this way. And we'll force you to take a break. You find yourself getting sick, you burn out, you collapse, you have problems because we're working against the rhythm God created us to live in. You know, you can't just exhale, right? At some point you have to stop and inhale again, because at some point you just run out of breath. You know, you cannot just run nonstop. You have to stop and recover. I'm training for the Chicago Marathon, running in a couple weeks for Team World Vision to clean water for kids and all of that. And if you're friends with me on Facebook, you've been seeing them and talking about a lot about that lately. You'll probably get a message from me later today or tonight saying, hey, if you haven't given yet, let's give. But I can't just run nonstop. You know, there are times where you have a really challenging run and then you have to have a recovery day or two or three or four or however many you need. You know, you can't just run nonstop. You can't just work nonstop. You can't exhale all the time. You have to inhale. You can't stay awake all the time. You have to rest and sleep. That's how we're created to live. There are rhythms to this, and we ignore these things at our peril. Sometimes it's like we've forgotten that God has set us free, and we think we're still enslaved. We're enslaved to some drive, some desire to achieve, some desire to earn more money or something. I'm not sure what it is for you that keeps you moving and not ever wanting to rest. And sometimes it's not some external expectation of a boss or employer. Sometimes it's just something in us, and we're like, what is that in me that won't let me slow down, that won't let me stop and just appreciate beauty, stop and catch my breath? What is going on inside of me? I mentioned last week, I think, that these Ten Commandments are mentioned twice in Scripture, once in Exodus and then again in Deuteronomy, as they're just about to enter the Promised Land. They're kind of reviewing all the things that God has said to them. And when they review the Ten Commandments, they get to the Sabbath command, and the reason for it is different. Instead of saying, because God, you know, God worked 6 days and took a day to rest, you know, setting a pattern for you, if God is going to take a break, you can probably take a break. Instead of that, in Deuteronomy, the reason they give is, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. It's like God is, he's reminding us, look, you're not a slave anymore. You've been set free. And now your new boss is saying, take a day off. Take a day to rest. Don't feel like you have to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's okay. I've got a friend that I'd met online as a member of Nazarene Church in another part of the state, and just ended up in this same, you know, online community. And we were discussing this a while ago now. And she was talking about how even as a church, sometimes we don't give people a Sabbath. It's like Sunday for many Christians is that Sabbath day, the day where we center our hearts and our thoughts on God, and we remind ourselves what's important in life, and we escape from work for a day, and we try to get some rest, and we worship together. And because it's a day that so many Christians take off, then we kind of like, oh, you're at church, hey, why don't we get together and go over that thing, you know, for the music or for the whatever, for that midweek thing, or, you know, let's squeeze in a board meeting, or let's try to do this other thing. And she had to tell her fellow, you know, believers at her church, it's like, no, sorry, I'm happy to come to worship, and she played in the band or whatever there, did music. She said, but my master's told me I get to have a day off, and this is my day off. So if we can meet some other day this week, that'd be great. But today is my day off. boss said I could have one. This is it. Oh, our Lord, our Master, our God, our King has said, it's okay. It's okay to stop and catch your breath. Whatever, if there's some other slave master trying to make you work in a different kind of rhythm, work 7 days a week and never catch your breath, and I know there are work schedules that are so different from that. But I think God is probably the boss of your boss's boss. Somewhere up there is God. And so your boss's boss has said, it's okay to take a break. I don't know how you negotiate that with your boss, but somehow it can be done. It might not look exactly like 6 days and one day, but you're going to have to find some kind of a rhythm. You're going to have to find some time to rest. You have to find some time to be restored. I just put in your notes a little homework assignment to read about the manna in Exodus chapter 16. It's this amazing story about how God provides enough so that we can actually rest. He provides enough during the other 6 days that we can have a day where we don't have to be productive. We don't have to work to keep the world spinning. That God wanted to say, look, it's all right. You can take a break. I'll still be God. I'll make sure that things don't quit while you rest. So a couple of different suggestions this morning for this. And the first one just there in your notes, find your rhythm. And this will look different for different people, all right, because we are wired differently. But you need to have some kind of a daily rhythm where, you know, like in creation, Genesis, there's evening, there's morning, you know, the sun goes down, the sun comes up, there's time for sleeping, there's time for being awake. And I know some of you that's reversed and you have to have really good, you know, room darkening shades because you've got to be working at night and sleeping during the day. But find your rhythm. Find a way daily to have times of work, times of rest, times where you're on and times where you're off. Weekly, you have to find a rhythm. You know, the Bible describes this Sabbath pattern, 6 days on, 1 day off. Find a weekly rhythm where you're not just working all the time. And I will say, I know for some of you, I should have said this earlier, for some of you, this message requires quite a bit of translation. Because for some of you, the problem isn't, I've got this drive, I can't stop, I have a hard time taking a break. For some of you, it's the almost like the opposite concern. You know, we have people in all sorts of different stages of life here, some of whom are not currently employed, either because of a disability or because of just employment difficulties or because you already did that and now you're retired. Now you're getting to enjoy the fruits of those labors. And so for you, this gets translated differently. It's like, okay, what is my rhythm now? Because you also can't just be off all the time, right? I mean, there has to be some kind of rhythm of times of being productive and times of not being productive, times of contributing and times of receiving, times of work, times of rest. It's just that your work may look different. All right. There are daily rhythms, weekly rhythms. There are seasonal, annual rhythms. You know, God gave his people holidays. There's just holy days. He gave them days where he says, okay, stop, no work for a week. You guys all have to take a break. You have to come together. You have to celebrate God's goodness, the way he's provided in the harvest, or the way he's provided in the rains, or the ways he's provided for us as a people in our history. You have to take some time off and get together with God's people, with your family, and celebrate God's goodness. And he commanded them to do this, evidently because God knows that if it's not mandatory, we just don't do it. I haven't looked up the stats most recently to see how many vacation days go unused in the United States every year, but it's thousands. It's all kinds of vacation time. People in other countries looking at us, and they're like, you people are crazy. What is wrong with you? Your employer provides you with vacation days and you don't take them? You just let them slip away because you just have to be at work? What's the deal there? You know, they take their vacation time and they don't understand us when we don't. There are seasonal, annual rhythms, times that we need to be restored and to rest. Now, this is not, I don't want you to hear this today, and I know there are some of you that this is how you're wired, and you're hearing this already, and you're thinking, oh, man, one more obligation. Now, I thought this was supposed to be about God's grace and all this, but now here's Pastor Rich saying, this is a law God has given to his people. You must take a day off, and if you violate this law, I mean, if you read the Old Testament, some of these stories, God took this thing pretty seriously because he knew he was going to have to break some really bad habits in them. And for you, some of you, this feels like complete obligation. And you're thinking, how am I supposed to do this? And it's this burden, it's this law now that you're thinking, how am I supposed to, one more way for me to disappoint God because I didn't rest when I was supposed to be resting. Sorry, God, I just couldn't help myself. I had to make myself a sandwich. I had to work. You know, this is not intended to be that at all. All right. In fact, two different places in the New Testament where one, the Apostle Paul tells these early Christians, another place where Jesus speaks, both of whom seem to be saying, look, this is not meant to be something that burdens you. The Apostle Paul, who was instrumental in the good news of Jesus spreading beyond the confines of Judaism, where it started, to all these Gentile folks like us, who were not part of the great Exodus and, you know, can't trace our lineage back to the people who were rescued from slavery and received these laws from God and all of this. We've been kind of grafted in. We've been brought in later. And the Apostle Paul says to these folks, says, look, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. And they had dietary restrictions given to them, right? The people of Israel had to keep kosher. So don't let people judge you by whether or not you keep kosher or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. He's saying, look, these things were just all trying to help us get to know God better and get to know who we are as human beings. They were all leading us toward Christ. So don't let somebody judge you if you don't celebrate the Sabbath like they do, or you don't participate in this religious festival like they do, or you don't keep to the same dietary codes that they do. He says, don't let somebody condemn you for that. You answer to Christ. You answer to your master. So he seems to be saying, look, this is not some law that if you disobey that God is disappointed in you and you need to be burdened by. Jesus, similarly, got in trouble a couple of times with the religious leaders because he kept doing these things that they thought you weren't supposed to do on the Sabbath, like heal people. Or in this story, in Mark chapter 2, they were just walking through the cornfields, and as they're walking through, they're like picking off ears of corn and nibbling on them, and which was okay to do. They weren't stealing. The problem wasn't like, hey, you guys are stealing corn from the farmer. Their issue was, this is the Sabbath. You're harvesting on the Sabbath by picking these, you know, this grain and munching on it. And Jesus basically says, give me a break, guys. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This is not some rule that we were made then to like, oh, okay, we better conform to this rule. He's saying this was a gift for us. This is something that God has given to us. It was made for us for our good. This is something that God wants to do for you so that you can get free of whatever that is that's driving you, so that you can have a healthy rhythm to life, so that you can remember on a regular basis that there's a God who loves you, who's still in charge, and that you don't have to rule the world, that God's got this. And on a regular basis, you get to rest in him. I included in the notes the same passage that Scott read earlier. If you liked the way the Message paraphrase put those verses, you don't have to remember them. They're right there from Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says to people, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion, all these religious duties that you have to accomplish? He says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. He says, this Sabbath thing is meant to be a gift. It's meant to be permission to rest, not a burden, not an obligation. Now, is there challenge in this? Sure, because if you're going to receive this gift, it's like, oh, it's like kind of like receiving a gift of a puppy, you know, or something like that. It's like, oh, this is an amazing gift that now I have to take care of and keep alive and care for and potty train and feed and all the rest. You know, there is challenge with receiving this gift of rest, but it's worth it. If you want to be a healthy human being, living life the way God created you to live, you'll find a way to find some rest. So my second suggestion is to check your gauges. And I don't remember who introduced me to this years ago, that basically just said, look at your life. You know, pretend you've got these fuel tanks. It's like in your car, you know. Just this last week, I realized, uh-oh, I'm below a quarter tank on the minivan, and Stacy tells me she really wants to keep that thing, you know, more full than that. I almost said nothing that frustrates her more. There's a lot of things I do that frustrate her more. But one of the things I do that frustrates her at times is she gets in the minivan to go somewhere with the kids and like, what, we're almost out of gas. What is going on, Rich? And they're like, oh, I just wasn't paying attention. I wasn't watching the gauge. I didn't know. And then a light came on, and I thought, oh, yeah, I've got to get gas. Pay attention to your gauges. How much fuel is in your tank? Physically, how are you doing? Are you rested up? Are you burned out? Where are you? Are you at a full tank? Yep, I'm eating well, I'm resting well, things are good, I'm healthy. Or are you depleted? Are you at the bottom? Are you running on fumes physically, emotionally? And these things are connected. You know that, right? When you're physically running on fumes, emotionally, it's hard to be like kind and generous and good, right? Because you're tired and cranky and grouchy. You know, so these things are connected. Physically, how are you doing? Emotionally, how are you doing? You have all kinds of emotional reserve where when somebody shows up and you're like, oh, this person is needy and I'm going to have to give emotionally for this person, where you're like, you know, you've got that. Like, okay, but it's all right. I've got the emotional reserve to deal with this. Or are you so depleted emotionally that you're just going to burst into tears and run away and hide and hope they don't see you? You know, how are you doing emotionally? Relationally, are your relationships, are they solid? Have you spent enough time with those you love where you know you're on good terms and things are good? Or has it been way too long since you spent time one-on-one with that spouse, that child, that parent, that friend? Spiritually, how are you doing? You know, are you and God on good terms and you're loving life and you know that God is with you? Or has it been a long time since you and God had a conversation and you're not even sure that God's up there anymore because you just run your tank all the way down to E? Check your gauges. How are you doing? And then think about, what is it that drains those tanks faster than usual? What is it that fills those tanks for you? As you think about finding a rhythm, whether that's a 6-1, you know, Sabbath kind of rhythm or whatever your rhythm might be, as you find a rhythm of work and rest, what is it that drains those tanks faster than usual? Well, you might want to avoid those on that day. That might be something just like, okay, on this day, I'm going to avoid those kinds of things that I know drain me and deplete me. And what fills those tanks for you? Look for ways to make those things happen on those days of rest, whether that's the weekly rhythm or, you know, the annual seasonal rhythm. Find ways to do things that will replenish you, refresh you. And I just included here in your notes something that I've found very helpful. It's from a guy named Gary Thomas. He wrote a book about this called Sacred Pathways. And he just kind of says we all are wired differently, you know, and we connect with God in different ways. And so he labeled them all, naturalists, sensate, all the way down the line, which naturalist, that's not nudist, all right? That's not what he's talking about there. Every time I see that one, that's where my brain goes. But 9 different spiritual temperaments, and I just gave you the brief description. He's written a chapter on each one of these. If you want that book, I think I've got, I might have lent it out, and I don't remember if I got it back. Anyway, if you're interested in that book, I can find it for you. You can order it on Amazon. I'm sure it's still out. But all these different ways that we connect with God, that some of you connect with God out of doors, and that's, you're outside, and you're like, oh, yes, I feel close to God now. You see the beautiful sunset, or you stand out in the rain, or whatever it might be, and you're like, ah, God is here. All right, there is a God who loves me. For some of you, it has to do with your senses, you know, visual beauty, sense of smell, taste, those kinds of things. For some of you, it's ritual and symbol. And if that's you, you're probably not sitting in here as much this on Sunday morning, because there are churches that do ritual and symbol much bigger and you know, in different ways than we do. People who love to just get alone, solitude, simplicity. Some people who are more activist, and it's when they're standing up for a cause and they're trying to raise that money, or they're trying to get those things together for the hurricane victims, or what, that's when they feel like, I'm working with God here. God is moving, and I'm moving right with him. Some of you, it's in loving others. Some of you, it's in mystery and celebration. Some of you, through adoration. Some of you, it's loving God with your mind and study, and that's when you feel closest to God. What is it that helps you feel closest to God? What is it that fills those tanks for you? Think about all those different aspects of your being, because after all, we're supposed to be loving God with all of who we are, right? All our heart, soul, mind, strength. So what is it that fills those tanks? Look for a way in your life where you're not always just being squeezed and wrung out. Look for ways where you can be replenished and refilled. I've had that image in my head. I didn't work it in last week, but that idea of like a sponge, you know, that we are like sponges, and God wants to fill us with his love, with his spirit, with energy, with life, so that then we can be squeezed in service to others, and what comes out of us is God's grace and God's beauty and his love and his care. You know, but you can't always just be wrung out. Eventually, there's just nothing left to give, and you have to get refilled, right? You have to have a rhythm where you're reconnecting with God, where the tanks get refilled. And likewise, you can't just spend all your time getting filled. At some point, the sponge is saturated and it's just running off. You know, and it needs to be squeezed. It needs to be, you need to be poured out. You need to give of yourself for the sake of others. We need to connect with that world that needs God's love in some way. Like I said earlier, that might be the challenge for you if you're in a stage of life where you're not struggling to rest. You're struggling to find, you know, what do I do those other 6 days? Now, we're going to talk about that some next week because we're talking about time here and how we spend our time and order our time and use our time, manage our time. So we're going to talk about that next week some. Like, what do you do with those other 6 days? How do we make sure that the important things are getting done? What does God's Word have to say about that side of life? If you know somebody that their calendar is just chaos and they're perpetually, you know, like, out of sorts when it comes to their time, invite them next Sunday, all right? And we'll make them feel real bad about themselves and then send them out. And we'll be, no, I don't. Well, hopefully there'll be something helpful next week for them, all right? And if that's you, hopefully there'll be something helpful next week for that. So what is it that fills your tank? What is it that helps to fill that sponge back up so that you can be poured out for others? I think I mentioned earlier that we ignore this rhythm. We ignore this at our own peril. That there are consequences for ignoring this. All kinds of things. I just was at a leadership thing a month or two ago, and there was somebody there talking about white space at work. It was a really great presentation. And how we need those gaps. We need those times where we're not just always focused and on. And even at work, you need times where you can, like, catch your breath and stop and be ready for whatever's next. You know, we need this in life. And if we ignore this, we're less productive even during our working time. We don't have what we need in order to pour ourselves out in whatever it is that occupies the other 6 days of our week. But I encountered this in a very real way, it was about 16 years ago, because the church is 17 years old. The church had been going a little less than a year, and I got real bad sick. Did I mention this last week? I lost my voice, which is really bad when your job is, a big part of your job is stand up in front and talking to people. I couldn't talk. I got in front and tried, and it was painful and ugly, and it wasn't good for anybody out there. I don't remember what it was, some kind of respiratory thing, and I was just knocked out for a little while, longer than usual. I mean, it wasn't just like this, oh yeah, I got a cold, I'll be over it. It was worse than that. And at some point in there, I stumbled across 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21, which is talking about the people of Israel as they had been exiled. You know, God had given them these rules, these Sabbath rules, and not just for their week, but even for their land. They were supposed to take, just like they're supposed to take 1 day out of seven to rest themselves, they were supposed to take 1 year out of seven to let the land rest. This land that God had given to them. They were supposed to give it a break every seventh year and trust that God would provide enough in years 1 through 6 that they'd make it through the seventh without any problem, and then pick right back up again after that seventh year where the land got to rest and they didn't plant and they didn't harvest. And at some point, the people of Israel, we don't have any record that they ever did that, that they ever actually obeyed that law that God had given them. And at some point, because of their disobedience, he allows their enemies to conquer them, and they get hauled off into exile. And then eventually, they make their way back. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, it's chronicling that part. And he says, so the message of the Lord spoken through Jeremiah was fulfilled. The land finally enjoyed its Sabbath rest, lying desolate until the 70 years were fulfilled, just as the prophet had said. So Jeremiah at one point had said, you're going to be in exile for 70 years. And somewhere along the line, somebody went back and thought, why 70? Well, I guess that would be... And they realized that was the number of times they had not let the land rest. And God says, if you're not going to let the land rest, I'll make sure the land rests. I'll just get you off of it for 70 years until the land's finally caught up with all those breaks you didn't give it, and then I'll let you come back. Which is a weird concept, like, really? But I stumbled across that while I was in the middle of that sickness. And I thought back to the 9 months or whatever it had been since we'd started Living Hope, and I thought, you know, I haven't been doing a good job of taking a Sabbath. I haven't been doing a good job of keeping that rhythm. I've just been spreading my workout over all 7 days and never really taking a break, never having a day where I'm just off, where I'm not on call, where I'm not checking emails, where I'm not out there in a meeting or a class or visiting someone in the hospital or preparing for a Sunday. I'm just kind of working all 7 days. And I did the math. Like, how long have I been doing this? Count up the number of weeks, the number of Sabbath breaks I hadn't taken. And I realized, you know, how far am I through? How long have I been sick? and the numbers kind of matched. Now, I'm not saying that God made me sick. I'm saying there are consequences to us ignoring the way we were made. And that God wants to give us a gift of living in healthy rhythms, connected to Him and to each other, to the world that need God's love. There are times we need to inhale, times to exhale. There are times to be awake, times to sleep. There are times to work, times to rest. Times to be poured out, times to be filled up. And I know that for many of us, the issue really boils down to, I don't know that I can do this, because it's like it's a trust issue. Like, but if I don't work that day, then the work's not going to get done, right? I mean, if I take a break, how am I supposed to get all my work done? If I take a break, then there are going to be other consequences, and I don't know that I can trust that God will take care of things if I take this time to rest. Which reminds me of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus said, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers who don't know there's a God who loves them, who don't know that they've been set free from slavery, who are still dominated, enslaved by these things. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. He says, if we will trust God, if we will let Him set the agenda for our lives, if we'll let Him have some say on our calendar and what goes in it and what doesn't, and how we organize things on it, if we will learn to live by those unforced rhythms of grace, then life can be a beautiful thing. So I'm hopeful that for you and for me, and I've got to say, I stand up here as somebody who struggles with this. I mentioned that story a long time ago. Just this past week, I've been blowing it on this, all right? Not in the weekly rhythm so much as the daily rhythm. Like, why have I not been going to sleep at night? I've been staying up and reading something or watching something or whatever. Like, grief, and then next thing, it's midnight and I got to be up at 5 or whatever. And what am I doing? You know, I'm a struggler right along with you, all right? So I'm hoping that you and I together this week will look again at the rhythms we're living in and trust God to guide us into something that's healthier than perhaps what we've been experiencing up till now. If we'll trust Him and do this, I think we'll be happy with the results. Let's bow our heads and let's pray before we celebrate communion together. God, thank You for caring so much about us, that You would set us free, that You would give us this permission to take time to be restored, to be refreshed, that as our good shepherd, You lead us into green pastures beside still waters, that You restore our souls. Thank You, God, that we get to experience this as we gather together for worship. We get to experience this in dozens of different ways as we learn to trust You and find a healthy rhythm. God, You know that for some of us, this is a real struggle. Whatever season, some of us are in a season of life where it just seems impossible, maybe due to work schedule or family obligations or whatever it might be. God, we find ourselves really struggling with this rhythm thing. And we're feeling the results of it. We're feeling the exhaustion. We're feeling the stress. So God, we ask for Your help, that You will guide us, that You'll give us wisdom, that this week as we open ourselves up to You and we open our calendars to You and we invite You to speak to this part of our lives, God, I pray that You'll help us to experience the freedom and the permission that You've given us to rest. Help us, God, to trust You in this way, to find a way to experience Your love in a healthier rhythm of life than what we've been experiencing. Thank You, God, for the great love You have for each one of us, that when we do find ourselves sucked into unhealthy rhythms, You are right there with us. You're not condemning us, but You're just longing to set us free. God, we celebrate this love and this grace that You give to us in this celebration of communion. We offer You these gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by Your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, in His body and in his blood. We remember, God, that on the night when he was about to be betrayed and handed over to those who would eventually take his life, that he met with his disciples and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat this bread." He took the cup and he told them to drink it and said, "This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of many." This seals the new agreement, the new covenant between God and humanity, that when we eat this and drink this, that we are remembering the great love, the great price that was paid to set us free. Thank you, God, for loving us this much. Lord Jesus, that you were willing to give your life for me, to set me free, so that I can experience the life you created me to live. Thank you, God. And thank you that you showed that you have the power to accomplish this by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. So we're going to trust in your power to help us to live the life you created us to live. Thank you, God, for your grace and for your love. We turn our back on sin. We turn our back on trying to do this thing our own way. And we turn toward you to receive grace and strength, hope, and new life. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The band's going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. You're invited as we sing to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice and eat it, and then return to your seat. It's open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. All of us who are saying, "Okay, God, I need your grace. I've not done this thing perfectly. I need your help." He wants to forgive our sins. He wants to empower us by his Holy Spirit to live a new way. So let's come to him and let's celebrate. Let's give him thanks. God, we have just sung of our utter dependence on you. That we need you every hour of the day, every breath that we take. You are our source of life and hope and strength. So God, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be filled with your grace and your love, so that as we leave this place, we can be poured out for the sake of others this week, living as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, carrying your grace, your love, your hope to people who desperately need to know your love. Thank you, God. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.